This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Got the number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
Call him every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Well, you made it through the weekend, through Mother's Day, through the Knicks debacle, through the baseball, came out the other side, and now we're here on Monday, May the 15th. This portion of the show driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast, huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. I call him PIC, partner in crime, the lovely, talented, elite Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. How are you today?
Well, Mother's Day, I was a heroic figure. Did everything that needed to be done. How are you as the voice? What's going on?
Oh, good. Had a great Mother's Day yesterday.
Yeah.
Took care of my beautiful wife and my mother-in-law. And sent some flowers and stuff to old Mickey Rourke in Boston. So everything was good.
Lovely. Mickey Rourke in Boston is just what we were hoping you would say about your mom.
I got to tell you, too, Shout out to everyone in the company that DM'd me Happy Mother's Day for Cass. And then Anthony even sprinkled in a Happy Mother's Day to Mickey. Actually called my mom Mickey, which I thought was nice.
Hang on a second. How many DMs did you get?
Like three or four.
I got none.
Well, because you're not a man of the people.
Obviously.
Obviously.
I got not one.
Yeah, right, because you're not a man of the people.
I'm the everyman. I was born here.
Stop.
I was breastfed here.
Wow. All right, that's concerning right off the bat. You should have, first of all, you know what's not a great thing to say on Mother's Day?
I can't wait to hear this.
Well, you're not my mother.
Oh.
I know you'd think it would go over well. It does not.
No. And you said that to Sherry, right?
Right.
Good.
Right. And yeah, no, it's not. It's a line that doesn't go over beautifully.
At what point of the day did you decide to say such wonderful
things? I said it, I think, on like Saturday night leading into Mother's Day. And then... and then said it again on Mother's Day morning, and not surprisingly enough, neither time did it go over swimmingly.
Yeah, you think you would have learned after the first time that it didn't go over well, that you just didn't keep that to yourself.
She's in theory, in actuality, she's not my mother.
Yeah, but she birthed your children.
Right, but that's why I said that in actuality, in my opinion, they should do more for her on this day than I should, because... She's their mother.
I understand in theory.
Yeah.
What you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't agree with you saying it. I'm going to start with that, and then on top of that, I think it's her expectation that you're the father, so you will help the children to make it a very special day for her.
Well, which I did. I facilitated. But here's the thing. These are not little children. That one of them is 16 and one of them is 12. So as much as I did facilitate, as you say, to make the day greater, I don't ultimately think it was really my responsibility to do such.
Okay. Here's how you got to break this thing down. Okay. Let me put it in it, because you can't really understand, because there's a piece of whatever in your brain. It's missing.
Right.
It's filled with giant memories and stats and where he went to college.
That's right.
I'm going to break this down for you in a sports analogy.
Okay. Yes. I think that's the best thing. And I think in the future, if there's any way you can break it down for me in a sports analogy, it would be effective.
Okay. So how we're approaching Mother's Day for you is like Jalen Brunson was approaching game six. Game starts, he realizes it's just me. I have my children. RJ and Julius, but they're really not going to help us. They're not going to participate today. They're not going to give us what we need from them today. So I'm going to be the one that is going to have to do I'm going to have to take on the burden. I'm going to have to do a majority of the work to make this game, this Mother's Day, a success.
Which I absolutely did.
No, you didn't. You drove a lot. That's it.
No, how dare you? You don't know what I did. Crack of dawn, dogs, right? Crack of dawn, dogs. Then who has to wait on this out the door line at the bagel store to pick up a full melange of breakfast? Bagels, lox, sliced tomato, cream cheeses, egg salad, tuna salad, muffins, juice.
Sounds delicious.
Go to the other place, flowers. Two bouquets of flowers. That's me. Then I come home. Then I drive out to Long Island. Who makes eggs? Fluffy, beautiful eggs. Me. Then who serves this full breakfast at my mother's house? Me. Then we get into the car. Who drives us midday traffic into the city? Me.
I'm a hero.
We sit outside in an elite setup by me. And then we travel back home. Who drives? Me. So don't you dare say that I didn't do every single thing within my power. And much like Superman would do in one of the many Superman vehicles, that's what I was equivalent of. Elite. Thank you.
Yeah, but I was, okay, so I don't understand what happened then.
What do you mean?
Okay, so where's the disconnect? I'm not picking up.
Well, I just
say you're not my mother if you did so much.
Because she's not. So my thought is I should really be celebrating my mother more than my children's mother. But I guess it doesn't feel like that is something that's appropriate to say.
Well, what? Okay, hold on. So the bagels, the lox, the sliced tomato, and the egg salad, and the bouquet of flowers.
The egg salad. It was and creamy, delicious egg salad.
I love egg salad. And the fluffy eggs, and you're serving this beautiful setting, and you're driving in Midtown Track, and you're Superman.
Yeah.
Okay, was that all for your mom and her mom? What did you get her?
What did I get Sherry?
Yeah. What did the kids get Sherry?
Well, it was no actual present. Oh. We all got her cards, and we got her a gorgeous bouquet of roses.
Okay, that doesn't seem terrible.
It's not terrible.
So what was the complaining for then?
Who, me?
No, not you.
Her?
I get dogs, flowers, breakfast.
She just doesn't like the fact that I said, you know, you're not my mother.
Yeah, but why do you have to say that though? Unless you didn't do anything.
I don't know.
That's my point.
I'm not sure. I'm going to stop talking this much in life. I think
keep your mouth shut. It seems like you did everything you had to do.
I did everything I had to do. I just discussed things through it. I think therein lies the problem. All right.
Keep those internal conversations, baby.
That's right. Maybe I can bounce it back and forth in between my ears. Like, bend
that. Yeah. A little like a tennis match. Ears.
Beep, 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 bop, bop, right back and forth. So, your Knicks.
My Knicks?
They're
my Knicks.
Well, yeah. Your Knicks. Firstly, you know, let's give credit where credit is due. And that's Jalen Brunson, who was absolutely sensational. I mean, nothing short of sensational. And really, for the most part, it stops there. What a disgusting, disappointing, I guess you could say embarrassing performance from everybody not named Jalen Brunson on Friday night.
Well, I don't know about that. Not everybody. I thought Josh Hart was good.
Okay, all right, fine.
Let's not forget, too, his wife just had twins.
I know.
Man, was out there.
Why did he? Serious question now, and there's going to be another one of these. Why would you ask that? Maybe I shouldn't, but I will.
No, ask.
Why did he need a private jet home? Don't they leave right after the game?
It usually takes longer. He was talking about not even showering.
So he just wanted to like run to the tarmac.
Like he wanted to get out of there as soon as possible. Jet, boom, see ya.
Gotcha. All right. So no, I was disgusted in that performance on Friday night. Disgusted.
Well, it was a winnable game. That's what made it worse. I mean, it was a winnable game. And the way it started, I mean, RJ comes out super aggressive. And, I mean, 8 for 8 from the free throw line. You build yourself up a nice lead. And then you run into the problem of, you mentioned Jalen Brunson. He played all 48, had one of those iconic, unbelievable game fives to push this thing to game 6. So you're trying to find a way to get him rest. And again, we were talking about this before the show, so this isn't Monday morning quarterback. We were texting back and forth during the game. Like, is it the best time to take him out with Julius Randle on the bench?
Oh, what are you?
Probably not.
What are you doing? Rick, the second they did it, it was so obvious John Winthrop saw it coming a mile away. Like, what are you doing if you're going to take Brunson out, which I don't love in the first place, but if you're going to take Brunson out, don't you absolutely have to have R.J. Barrett and Julius Randle in the game to kind of at least manage it to get Brunson back in?
Well, yeah, you would think. And it's really where you miss IQ. Not having IQ, how much of a problem that is. And then on top of that, I mean, R.J. Barrett just, I mean, he wasn't good. Shots weren't going down. So it was 36-30 when they put Brunson on the bench with Randle. He'd go on an 8-0 run. Here's the other problem, is that without Brunson on the floor, the Heat were plus 29. So, I mean, yeah, you're trying. I mean, these are all close games. You're trying to find some way
this
to give him some
series?
Rest. This is in the series, yeah. Okay. And he's, I mean, foul trouble for him, foul trouble for RJ early. They end up going into that 3-2 zone, and the Knicks had no idea, like what to do with Brunson on the bench. So he had to bring him back in. And, I mean, you had the ball down two late in the game in your best player's hands, and unfortunately it gets turned over, and the Miami Heat are headed to the conference finals back-to-back years.
Big picture. Tremendously successful season.
Yes.
I mean, come on. Nobody thought they were going to be a top six seed. They accomplished that. Nobody thought before the season they had any chance to win a playoff series. They accomplished that. They go toe-to-toe with Miami and have a real chance, like you mentioned, to at least force a game seven. So big picture, they did really, really well. When you look at what this series turned into, it was Jalen Brunson, a little bit of R.J. Barrett, and they got production from so few outside of that. And I've done really well, I think. And I think I've been fair in minimizing my criticism of Julius Randle for this postseason. I'm sorry, Rick. I can't do it anymore. I can't. This guy, 2 years ago, when they played Atlanta in that series, and he was awful, it was, well, he has no help, and there's nothing that he can do. Well, okay, fine. We let him get away with that. This postseason, and specifically in this series against Miami, he's third team All-NBA. He has to give me more. And you can't say he didn't have help because Jalen Brunson was all-world in the series.
Yeah, I can't make an excuse for it. I mean, you could point to his ankle if you wanted to. I mean, I think that is – I think his performance this postseason and his body language and some of the other stuff that, you know, people like you and just Knicks fans that don't like him can't stand. I mean, it was – you saw how the fans reacted. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's gross that you're going to vandalize his poster.
No, I agree with you there.
I think that's what makes this – feel the way it feels right now. Because how we should be talking about this Knicks team is we should be celebrating them. We went from before the season started hoping they could be in the play-in tournament to all of a sudden, you know, they trim down the rotation, they start playing great, and you're like, wow, forget the play-in tournament. Let's get to the sixth seed. Forget the sixth seed. We were talking about getting to the four seed. They end up with the five seed. They take care of Cleveland in five, right? They embarrass Cleveland in five.
They really
did. And now, I mean, you're playing a team that we didn't give enough credit to. They're not a run-of-the-mill eighth seed. Like, this is a team that was a game seven of the Eastern Conference Finals last year with one of the best coaches in the league, playoff Jimmy Butler. By the way, the Knicks had no answer for Bam Adebayo either.
No.
And then, I mean, we should be celebrating the fact that they found a way to win game five and bring it all the way to game six and have a chance to really, you know, push this to a game seven. But I think the reason why we're not is because of Julius Randle, because now you're asking yourself, rather than looking at this as a building block season, right, guys getting experience, right, Quentin Grimes getting great experience, R.J. Barrett outside of those first two games and game six had a pretty good playoffs, Jalen Brunson is a star, how he wasn't an all-star or an all-NBA player, I'm sure he will be next year because he's established himself as that now. Like, you should be looking forward to the future instead of, okay, you know, what moves are we making? Who's going to take Julius? Who are we trading? Like, it's just the whole Julius Randle thing is kind of wet blanketed. Well, it's kind of wet blanketed, this whole thing.
I think you're right. Now, we got a break. We'll come back. We'll get to the calls, 800-919-3776, here from Tom Thibodeau. There's something that I don't know if this is like mainstream, but I kind of saw and I was like, oh, my God, like a stat that I couldn't believe. You know, today's a big day for somebody on the show, a real big day. You know who that is?
Raymond Santiago.
Because RJ is at a bachelor party in Arizona, and Raymond is picking up the slack. So, lot on Ray's plate. Tom Bauer, Mr. I love bands that throw up on themselves, is in for RJ. It's DiPietro. It's Rothenberg with you.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rick, so I'm looking at the box score, and you probably know this, but in case you don't, I found this to be remarkable. Jalen Brunson, and I don't know that I've ever seen this before.
I know what you're going to say.
Had more field goals in game six than the entire rest of the team combined.
That's right.
Have you ever seen that before?
No. Not that I've ever, like, really ever paid attention to it, but yeah, he had 14, the rest of the team had 13.
That is just absolutely incredible to me. It shows you how good he was, coupled with how bad everybody else was.
Well, how bad? I mean, your two other best players, which
they
combined
for four field goals.
Yeah, they were 4-24, 1-10 from three,
and you had the ball to take the lead with 15 seconds left.
Well, that's because Gabe Vincent decided to punch Jalen Brunson in the face.
That's a dirty team,
clearly,
by the way.
On purpose. Yeah, but they make you pay. That's who they are. I mean, there's articles being written about the Heat culture. Here's when I knew we were in one. Was the Heat are up 51-50 after the first half. Okay, Jimmy Butler only had 9 points, and the Heat had shot two for 12 from three, and we're still down a point. And I was like, ugh.
Yep.
All right. And then we got off to we were 0-6 to start the third quarter.
Oh,
here's,
dreadful.
Here's the crazy part, though. In the fourth, we didn't make our first
shot. For like 7 minutes, right?
It was Jalen Brunson. It was halfway through the fourth quarter before we made our first shot.
Oh, amazing. And they were right there.
Right there.
It really is amazing. Let's hear from Tom Thibodeau, and then we will hear from you guys. 1-800-919-3776. Did you not get enough out of Julius and RJ?
You look across it, and every night the playoffs are different. You know, so the intensity of the game's different. And you're not going to be great in every game. No one is. You could have an off game, and you got to bounce back the next game. You know, so, you know, take what we learn from it, work all summer to get better. Julius is still young. He's just going into his prime right now. So, you know, we're looking forward to what's coming next.
Now, obviously, he's not going to say anything differently than that, defend his guys, but Do you think the masses want to see Julius Randle back with this team next season?
The masses, no. The masses, no.
So I was at Kid Sports all day Saturday. Yep. All day. Everyone was so upset. Right? Oh, the Knicks, can you believe they lost it? That would be their first comment. And this is from double-digit people. Second comment, I can't deal with Julius Randle anymore. So upset they lost, can't deal with Randle. Get him out of here.
Yeah, Julius Randle is that guy for the Knicks. He's that guy. I mean, he's the most polarizing player. If things don't go well, he doesn't play well. I mean, it's get him out of here. What I would say to those people, though, is, I mean, you have to, like, they're the same thing I would say to people about Panarin, that are pissed Panarin's had back-to-back bad playoffs.
Right.
Is that, well, you still need those players to get you to the actual playoffs.
Unless you can deal that player for something that, you know, is
that's better
close to you in the regular season and better in the postseason.
Right. Or if you understand that this is who this guy is and that he'll have limitations during the postseason and you need to surround him with guys that are more consistent.
Correct. And they surrounded him with the point guard, and he still struggled mightily this postseason.
Yeah, he wasn't great. No, I mean, by any means. He doesn't do himself any favors with...
His body language is awful.
Body language is awful, and then there's some times where he just doesn't give you the effort defensively that you need.
There was a play on Friday. And again, I don't want to belabor that it's all Julius Randle, but he is, I mean, supposed to be your best player, second best player. And to get that kind of performance in Game 6 was awful. But there was a play, I don't even remember, I think it was Gabe Vincent, was on the baseline. And out at the three-point line, though, on the baseline. And faked and took the ball and went right past Julius Randle and laid it in. And Rucco and Richard Jefferson, like, it looked like he didn't even try on defense there. And that's
yeah,
in the
and
second
I think,
half
I think
of that
it was
game.
JJ, yeah, I think it was J.J. Redick that might have said he was expecting some help. But, yeah, I remember the play.
Right, yeah, just terrible. So, again, it's very disheartening. It's very frustrating. And the thing that makes it stink is that's on the heels of what was a great regular season and a great postseason as well. I think the thing that's so upsetting is if you ask most Knicks fans, and myself included, you really thought you had a great chance, even after the series, to have won that series. And when you feel like maybe you left something on the table is when it really hurts.
Yeah, see, I don't know if it's that. I mean, I think it was a winnable game. We said the entire time, though, it's just the Heat were a better team. I don't know how many people picked. Like, I mean, I know you wait to see how the game unfolds and the fact that it's 92-90, you got the ball in your hands with a chance to tie it up or take the lead, and it gets, you know, it ends up being a turnover. I'm not sure why you don't call timeout there, but, I mean, whatever happens, happens. I think the biggest reason why Knicks fans are so upset is because, A, they don't feel like this it's going to be good enough moving forward, and they're sick of Julius Randle. I'm telling you, I think Julius Randle, and you saw the way that people reacted, tearing down his poster and everything else. I think that's a bit
extreme to me.
Of course it is, but I think that's a big part of why we're just not focused on how good a season this was. We have our point guard. He's a stud.
He is a stud. A stud.
And we love where we're headed. I mean, the Miami Heat aren't just some eighth seed. They had a bad regular season. They didn't shoot well. And then all of it, like Kyle Lowry, everyone thought was done.
He was? I don't understand.
Kyle Lowry had 7 assists in the first half in game six.
He was so awful in the regular season.
These guys know how to turn it on when they need it.
They know how to turn it on when they need to. They're well coached. And one more thing, and then I do want to get to the calls. Why? I don't even remember if we mentioned this on air. This is off air. Why in the world did you rest Brunson
And Randle. Yeah, we did.
This was on air, we mentioned this?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Okay.
I told you they went on an 8-0 run.
Yeah. We discussed it off air, so I thought it might have been that.
Plus 29 in the series without Brunson on the floor.
Yeah, I thought that was a huge mistake, a huge misstep from the head coach.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, because, I mean, you're trusting RJ to try to figure it out, but they went to that 3-2 zone, and we looked lost. Like, we had no idea how to run an offense. Well, that's the part of the problem, too.
Because in actuality, they didn't.
Well, they didn't, but you watch how Miami moves the basketball, man. Like, and Spo's so smart, too, because, you know, they got Gabe Vincent all the way up. They're making Jalen has to protect the ball all the way up the court, so by the time they get into their offense, now it's rushed. Defense is set. You know, Julius gets the ball with, like, what, you know, 7 seconds left on the clock. He takes some ridiculous tough shot. It's ISO and then trying to kick it out. It's just
terrible. It's like watching men among boys. Is that Miami?
Like the Knicks, right? Here's the perfect example, right? Knicks had 13 assists and they had 12 turnovers. The Heat had 25 assists and only 7 turnovers.
And there you go. Let's start with the calls because they are all packed in here. Evan in Queens. Good morning, Evan. Lead us off. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey guys. So first of all, thank you for taking my Knicks call throughout the season. I appreciate the time.
We appreciate you making the calls.
Of course. So you guys always ask the question, is Julius the second or third best player on a championship team? And it's a great question, I think. My problem is this. If you look at very good third or even second options, they're all okay with playing off the ball. They may go several possessions in a row, not touch the ball, still defend and get rebounds. And when the ball is swung their way, they'll still shoot 50% and just make good decisions. Julius has never been able to play off the ball, and he's clearly not good enough to be the best player on a championship team. So in spite of the 25 and 10, I really don't believe he has any role on a championship caliber team. So, you know, tell me if you agree or disagree here.
I don't disagree. I don't. I mean, what he's shown you in the playoffs, the two runs the Knicks have been in or had, has been horrendous.
Yeah, I thought the Game 5, too, would kind of get him. He started to get it going in Game 5. And then for him to come out the way he did in game six, him and RJ.
RJ
was disappointing.
Well. Yes.
Even though, but RJ, at least he got off to, I mean, at least he was aggressive off the bat. I mean, 8-for-8 from the free throw line. But
right. He was, what was he, like 1-for-10 from the floor, though?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, oof.
Yeah, dude, I mean, they combined, your two other best players combined 4-for-24. I mean, that's not.
No. There's no, it's miraculous you were as close as you were.
Well, that was the free throw shots. I mean, hell, in the fourth quarter, you were in the bonus with 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
I know. You had your chances. You couldn't capitalize, and here we are talking about a failed opportunity.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
So again, no RJ today, which means that Raymond... You got to really tighten your belt and be elite like we know you can be.
You want me to be more Jalen, less Julius today?
Yes. 100%. Please. Right.
Not enough pressure. We'll be fine.
No, yeah. Just star in your role. That's all we're asking. Don't get overwhelmed. This is who you are.
Yeah, do what you do. You're usually elite. Be elite. Just do your thing. Because at 7:45 this morning, getting to know you, 9:15, stuff you missed.
It's a lot.
You got your plate full.
There's a lot in the old sim category today.
By the way, I heard your shots at me during your fancy NJ diet read. But upon weighing yesterday, were you down 4 pounds?
I didn't weigh myself.
Four pounds from when?
I'm probably up 4 or 5 pounds after the amount of tacos and frozen yogurt I ate
from
yesterday.
Monday of this week to Sunday morning of this week, 4 pounds.
Wow.
That's right. And
yeah, but I mean, did you weigh yourself yet today? I mean, it sounds like you had a smorgasbord of
you say
delicious
that?
Treats.
You say that? Guess who had 0 carbs yesterday?
Yeah, but that's not fun.
I'm out with a purpose. I'm not looking for fun.
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with carbs. It's just the amount of calories that you eat. You could have had a bagel.
No, I did not. I had a little tuna. I had lots of tomato, and away we went.
Yeah, you put the tuna right on the tomato, huh?
I made nice. Little like tomato sandwiches.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's right.
I think they're actually offering that at. I think that's an In-N-Out offering now.
You can choose like a meat in between.
Yeah, because they used to do it. You could do lemon on lettuce, right?
Right.
So you could do the burger on the lettuce, but now they're offering you could do the burger between the two tomatoes.
I like that.
Yeah, I guess it's pretty good.
All right, let's get to some of these calls. Let's go to Dan in Queens. Dan, have at it. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, guys. Thanks for taking my call all series. I'm really mad at the coach, and I'm really mad at Stephen A. Smith. At halftime, he said he was calling for Tobin instead of Randall, and I've been telling you guys all series that wasn't the answer. They needed to play Tobin with Randall. Tobin only played 11 minutes. He had 7 points more than Grimes and Robinson put together. It was bad coaching. I don't know why he never tried to put two forwards in at the same time. 26-10 with points in the paint. Never did I thought we were going to be in defense that game like you guys are saying.
Dan,
I just don't know why.
Who's going to defend? Who's going to defend Bam?
Who defended him now in the whole
but
series?
Who's going to defend? I mean, you really want to see him go wild?
I think he already went wild. I think that's the reason why we lost the series, and I understand that's what everybody's saying. We couldn't defend, but we wasn't defending him the whole time. We had three guards in the whole time. He made Barrett, Grimes, he even made Brunson. That's why Lowry looked so good. He looked so strong against our small guards. He never tried it. I would just at least say try. Let's see what would happen. I think we should run it back. I think we were better than Boston. I think we could have went to the championship.
Dan, you're crazy. Honestly, you're insane. You run two things. A, run it back. B, better than Boston. You're not better than Miami. Now you think you're better than a team that's considerably, in my opinion, better than Miami?
I don't hate the make some tweaks and not get crazy and start blowing it up. I don't hate that take. But I mean, better than the Celtics. Did you watch what Jason Tatum did yesterday at all?
He was unbelievable. Didn't Steph Curry have the only 50-point game in a Game 7 ever in the NBA earlier this postseason?
You might be right.
I think so. And now Jason Tatum joins him in that club. And by the way, for almost the entirety of Game 6, Jason Tatum was horrendous.
Well, that's really where they missed their opportunity.
Philadelphia, yeah.
Philadelphia.
You knew they weren't going to win that game yesterday. But they had their chances in Game 6. They let it get away, and you got to be kicking yourself. Kicking yourself. By the way, guess who I believe is going out to lunch with Andrew Gundling tomorrow?
That would be one David Rothenberg.
That would be correct. That would be accurate. Let's go to JoJo in Nutley. JoJo, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm just really upset. Shout out to the company as well. I was really upset with the Knicks fans after the fact. I mean, listen, I'm one of them. We're all frustrated on the loss, but you got to look towards the future. This was a good run for a season, and I'm really upset with Julius Randle. But to be outside the Garden or in the city, ripping down his posters, trade him, all this stuff. I mean, we're trying to make this a destination. The Knicks a destination for a superstar, and I feel like it hasn't been a destination for 10, 15 plus years. And now you think about the guy who, like Rick said, like a Panarin, like who brought us all season and did what he had to do. He's probably, we're going to find out he's been playing on like a broken ankle or a sprained ankle. Probably, he's playing hurt, which I'm not giving him excuses. He did not do what we wanted. I get it. But to be outside the Garden, losing your mind and ripping down posters. I mean, if you were a superstar, would you want to come to the Knicks? You see this? There's so many other places. And it's just
couple things. I think there's two different things. If you sit here and you say you'd like to trade, Julius Randle, this offseason, I don't think it's a terrible take. If you're outside the Garden immediately after the game, ripping down his poster and stomping on it, I think you've gone way too far.
Agreed. Exactly. I agree exactly. Like, I'm not saying that I wasn't even a big Randle fan, and I really don't, like, love his game. But you know what? He brought us here. He's wearing the Knicks jersey. I'm going to root for the guy. And, didn't have the series we wanted him to, and I understand it. And I think Spoelstra figured the Knicks out, and they really, it really was a rough series for us that, we're going to be thinking about this for a little bit. But you know what? They got us here. We haven't been here in a while. And, I'm just very disappointed on some of the Knicks fans. I think we got to, like, calm down a little bit, think about the overall season. And you know what? Maybe we do move forward from him, and I'm fine with that. But going outside and stomping on it, like let's try to make this a destination.
It's embarrassing. I think you're 100% right, JoJo. It was embarrassing. The way the Knicks fans acted and ripping down his posters and stomping on them like he was public enemy number one was embarrassing.
You're getting all choked up even talking about it.
It's a lot for me.
I'll tell you what. You want to hear something crazy, but I don't think it's that crazy.
All right.
If I'm Julius Randle, I go get ankle surgery.
Even if you don't need it?
Yeah, like even if it's exploratory. Just to say that I got ankle.
But here's the thing. No one's going to care.
I got ankle surgery.
No one's going to care. You know why? Jalen Brunson. Ankle was a mess. Guy showed up. You didn't show up.
Yeah, it's not a great look. And I really feel like that's the big holdup right now. It's as to why we're not really focused on celebrating what a really good season this was.
I think you're right. If Julius Randle was great in Game 6 and the Knicks lost and Brunson did what he did, and you somehow lost the game, I don't think people would be nearly as ferocious towards this team. But to have one guy show up, and like you mentioned, a little bit of Josh Hart fine, and Obi hit a couple shots, but I mean, for the most part, it was a complete one-man show. When you're supposed to have a second and third option, maybe not championship-level second and third options, but legitimate second and third options in Randle and R.J. Barrett, and for those guys to be MIA in that situation is terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not what you're looking for, and I think this is what happens, though, when you play a really good to elite defensive team that's got one of the best coaches in the league. We talk about it all the time in a series, is you start to get exposed. Like, your deficiencies get exposed. And, I mean, it was clear watching the series that there are some adjustments that need to be made for the Knicks. Right? I mean, they need to add shooting around. I mean, the offense did not function at a high level. And I know they were like, I know as far as regular season, they had the fourth best offensive rating in the regular season. It's not what it looked like against the Heat.
No, and we've seen it in every sport. The regular season and the postseason are so completely different and have to be analyzed as such. Julius Randle was third team All-NBA, but he was not, you know, he was not great in the postseason by any stretch.
Well, no, you're talking about, I mean, two of the last 3 years, he was second team All-NBA, third team All-NBA. Twice he was an All-Star.
How was your MVP in the biggest moments of the season?
Not very good.
Right? I mean, how about this now stat I saw? So let me make sure I have it right.
I know
so,
what it is.
So then why don't you say it? If you're taking it stealing all my nuggets
I'm
and
not
stats,
stealing
then why
it.
Do you
I
even
just,
need me?
No, of course I need you. I love you. Are you talking about the stat, the drop off?
Yep.
Yeah. Points that he averaged during the regular season to points that he averaged in the
Yeah. So Embiid in the regular season to postseason had a 9-point differential to the negative for the postseason, which is the biggest in the history of the NBA for an MVP.
Yeah. And then you got them in between that and then the way James Harden looked and Doc Rivers' record in elimination games. It's not,
not
very good.
No good. Colum in the Bronx. Long time, no speak. What's up, Colum?
Good morning, Dave, Rick. Shout out to the company. Can't wait to see you guys on June 1st. I'm extremely pissed off. This was, for whatever you want to call it, this was a winnable series. They did not show up in game 3 and game 4. Everybody outside of Brunson played atrocious in game 6. And I'm extremely frustrated. Maybe in a week, maybe or two, I can look back and look at how, you know, good the season was overall and all that stuff, but I'm pissed. But the caveat would be this off season, I would be okay with them coming back with the same team, because do not make a move if it's not a great scenario and something that's going to work out for them, because I don't want it to be like they did after the Hawks series where they just made rash decisions on getting the point guard and getting Evan Fournier and Kemba Walker and stuff like that, because that clearly was just not what Tibbs can do, and it just not worked out. People are going to think about rash stuff. The absolute, I love him, I'm a big fan, but an absolute moron of Stephen A. Smith saying, get Dame Lillard, like, that would not work. You're going to have 2 6-1 point guards playing. No one's going to be able to play defense, and you're going to take away from what Jalen Brunson can do. Stuff like that is just moronic. Be patient. Make sure it's the right move. It's a good situation. And if it's not there, and if it's not a good way, back out of it. It's fine. Let's be patient. And I'm okay with being good for a couple of years, because in my entire life, the Knicks have mostly, if not always, been terrible.
Well, I think that's a fair point. And thanks to call, Colin. But Rick, I think you have to explore. I think you have to explore. I got to be honest with you. I mean, I'd like to keep Josh Hart. I'd like to re-sign him. I'd like to keep Quickly. I'd like to keep Toppin. If I have to deal Randle to get better, see, that's the thing. If I think I'm getting better by dealing Randle or Barrett or whoever, I'm willing to do it.
Well, I understand what you're saying. It's, I mean, you have to find a deal. Like, I
that's
mean,
right.
To Cullum's point, you can't be reactionary here. You can't.
I don't want to trade those guys.
Make
just
a
to
deal.
Trade those guys.
Yeah,
correct.
To make a deal to make a deal. And I mean, it has to make sense. It has to fit what you're trying to do. I think. I mean, the moves that Leon has made most recently have been really good moves. I mean, forget the Kemba Walker, Fournier. That stuff was garbage. Those weren't good moves. But I mean, the Hartenstein move was a great move. Obviously, the Brunson move, tremendous move. And then once you made the deal for Hart, those are great moves.
Great moves.
So what you've seen now is, I mean, again, you had the opportunity now to see what you lack. Going up against a really good defense that's really well coached, what do we need to improve? And this isn't just the first time that's the problem. This isn't the first time you see Julius struggle in the postseason. That's what makes it most concerning. Because you're right, like with the Atlanta series, he was by himself. It didn't look great. You know, he was the number that you circled on the whiteboard. Let's shut him down. We'll win this series. And they did, and he wasn't good. But you gave him the benefit of the doubt because you said it was only him. Now, fast forward to this season, it's you got Jalen Brunson. Outside of the first two games against Cleveland, RJ was pretty good in the postseason, and Julius still struggled. So now you've seen it twice. And now you have to figure out, was it his ankle? Is this who he is? Because if this who he is if this is who he's going to be in the postseason, I mean, how do we replace his production during the regular season? Because we need the production to get us to the postseason.
Right.
But once we're there, if we can't count on him, what do we do?
Well, remember, but all the conversations last time out were, well, you know what, the loss because you didn't have a point guard and you didn't have a second player to facilitate his elite regular season greatness.
Yeah.
Well, you did, though, now.
Yeah, you fixed that problem.
You fixed that, and he was, I mean, he might have been worse this postseason than he was last time out.
Yeah, like, listen, I mean, I'm kind of what I just said. It's that you have to decide whether or not you think this is who he's going to be. I mean, how much you're going to give it, like, we don't know what the ankle really is. How much of it was that? I don't think that excuses some of the effort stuff or the body language stuff that drives people crazy. But, yeah, I mean, it's not, this is two postseasons now where he hasn't been good. And you're counting on him to be your second best player. And when you go into a game six after Jalen Brunson gives you 48 minutes, one of the great, you know, great must win games played by a Knick.
Correct.
And your second and third best player are combined 424. I mean, come on. What are we talking about?
You really, it's miraculous that they were as close to winning game six as in fact they were.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's the crazy part of that game was you had, I mean, and you mentioned the craziest stat of the whole night was that Jalen Brunson made 14 shots and the rest of his team made 13. And you were still only down two with the ball in your hands and Jalen Brunson's hands.
You had that golden opportunity. Let's go to Dave in Jersey City. Good morning, Dave. You're next up.
Good morning. I think you guys need to stop trying to blow up Jalen Brunson's head. He's not a point guard. He's a jock guard. But this is what the Knicks should look at this year, going into next season. Chris Middleton, Boston has put Grant Williams on the bench.
Chris Middleton can't stay healthy.
No. Listen. Chris Middleton, see, Brunson holds the ball 12 seconds all the time in the 24-second clock. When he don't want to, he's never going to pass the ball. He had three assists in that game. No, you can't win no game with three assists.
Dave, hold up, listen.
I'm going to rant today.
Hold on, Dave.
You're an amazing call. Honestly, Rick, go ahead.
Oh, did you just lower him?
I did not. But
oh, okay, so don't hang up. I love Dave. This is Dave Cowboys Nation.
Yeah.
Right? The only question I would ask him before he goes on his rant is who was Jalen going to pass to that was going to make a shot?
They couldn't score. And I find it remarkable that today of all days would be the day he would call up and go right after Jalen Brunson.
All right, he's still talking, by the way. All right, Sandy, yeah, pull him up.
Brunson head because he's a jock first guard. And it looks pretty, but Jason Tatum played like a superstar yesterday. And Brunson ain't never.
Hang on a second.
No,
you hang on a second. How can you sit here and tell me that Jalen Brunson didn't play like an absolute superstar on Friday night?
No, no, why? Because Miami won four games. The Knicks only won two.
All right, I'm done. If you want to continue the conversation, Rick, you can go ahead and have at it with him. I'm done.
No, come on, Dave. You can't have Dave shut down like that. You can't beat him into submission like that. It's crazy.
Beat me into submission. It's such a stupid. You're telling me they lost the series because of Jalen Brunson?
No, it's silly.
What are we doing?
It's silly because games five and six, Jalen Brunson was great.
You're a mediocre hockey player. How about that?
I didn't like when Dave said that to me. That was very nasty.
That was very nasty. You've had some shots taken at you, haven't you?
Yeah, but but I'm tough. I can handle. I actually like it.
You like when people go after you?
I do, yeah, because now I can. You give me
ammunition.
Now I get the pass though to come right back at you.
Right back in. Let's go to Mike in Massapequa. Good morning, Mike.
Top of the morning, fellas. How you doing?
You know, we're all right.
Shout out to the company. I can't believe I got to follow that call. That was atrocious.
Yeah, no, he's a great caller. He brings up good points all the time.
Oh my God, that was horrible. So, first of all, my new favorite drop, no matter what mood I'm in, Rick's new police car Lady Marmalade drop. The gitchy, gitchy, mama, hee, wee, wee, wee. That just makes me laugh every single time.
Hee, wee, wee.
I love that. So for the Knicks, like, I get over things pretty quick. Like, Saturday, I was fine. Friday night, I was pissed. But Saturday, I'm like, you know what? This is a great, great season. We didn't know what to expect. We thought maybe play-in. Then all of a sudden, sixth, fourth, fifth seed. And then we destroyed Cleveland. And we could have beat the Heat, but they were better. They're better coached. And their role players just came up to be better, right? I don't think it was an awful season. It was an awful ending.
It was not an awful season by any stretch.
But the way that people react, it's like we were the number one seed and we lost to the eighth seed. You know, I just don't understand it.
Because they're upset because you had home court next to the call, Mike. You had home court in the series. They didn't have one of their best players. They didn't have one of their key contributors on the bench. And you went into the series thinking to yourself, you know what? I mean, you were favored. If you went to put money on this series, the Knicks were the favorites. And people got excited and thought they maybe were better than they were after the Cleveland series. And they're disappointed. I understand why you would feel upset after losing that series to Miami.
Yeah, disappointed. I mean, I think there's a difference between disappointed and what you saw at MSG.
No, that's lunacy. Difference. I'm not condoning that. I think what those people did is just, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuts. On top of that, the first thing I thought about after I saw that was the conversations you heard last year in the baseball playoffs, like how turned off other teams were that the crowd was booing Judge. Like, players talk, man.
Yeah, it's not a great
look.
That's
a bad look.
Well, I agree with you 100%, and I'm not a huge Randall guy, but it's a bad look, and it's unnecessary, and it's silly, and it's immature. Is what it is.
Yeah, but more importantly, it's an awful optic for everybody else. Like, I mean, this is, we're at a spot now where Jalen Brunson is great. You got some nice young pieces. Apparently, after talking to CJ McCollum, everyone loves Tibbs. That we're trying to get ourselves to a point where it's like, okay, this is a good place to play. It's a safe place to play. And you got a guy who, yeah, has struggled in the postseason, but two out of the last 3 years has been all NBA, all-star twice, and the first thing you want to do after a loss is rip down his poster.
Not great.
I mean, come on.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.